Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, folks. How are you? I hope you're all right. We're here with you on the bench until 7. A lot of sport to get through over the next hour. We'll have reaction from Kerry's win over Tyrone today in the All-Ireland semi-final. They booked their place against Dublin. We were joined in studio today by All-Ireland champions Jack Murphy and Blake Murphy from the Cork Under-20 All-Ireland winning team. Joined us in studio earlier on. We'll have that chat a little bit later. We also talked to Craig Hannafin as the Under-20 hurlers prepare to face Tipperary in the All-Ireland final. We'll have reaction as well from Cove Ramblers. Disappointing night for them last night as they lost to Dundalk in the FAI Cup by just a goal, and it was a game that Cove Ramblers certainly played very, very well in. And we'll talk to Rotland as well ahead of their golf classic in September and the start of the Munster Senior League season next weekend. You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. We're here until 7 p.m. this evening. If you would like to get in touch, text 086 8104106. Send us a WhatsApp on that number as well, or you can tweet us at Big Red Bench. Just got an update from Old Trafford, where Manchester United are taking on Chelsea.
United 3, Chelsea 0, 2 goals in the space of 2 minutes. Marcus Rashford claiming his second of the game, puts the wrong goal and clinically firing past Arrizabalaga. It's United 3, Chelsea 0.
74 minutes gone on the clock there at Old Trafford. Alright, full-time report though from Croke Park, where Kerry have beaten Tyrone by 3 points. Maura Trasny-Kelly was watching.
Full-time, Kerry 118, Tyrone 18 points. Just under 34,000 watching an underwhelming game of football here. Well, it was until Kerry woke up. In the first half, they really struggled to contain Colin McShane, but it was easy frees and some good kicking from David Clifford and Sean O'Shea that kept them in it for the first 35 minutes. The introduction of Tommy Walsh, coupled with Peter Keane figuring out how to break the deadlock, made all the difference, which culminated in a Stephen O'Brien goal after a great Paul Gainey pass. Kerry kept the foot on the gas and saw it home, while McShane missed some handy scores to ensure that the Kingdom go to the final. Full time, Kerry 118, Tyrone 18 points.
So will be Kerry to face Dublin in the All-Ireland final on September 1st. This is Kerry's David Moran in conversation with Maura Trass after the game.
I'm joined now by Kerry's David Moran, who is, I'm not surprised, rehydrating after that. That was an interesting game.
Yeah, it was. I suppose, look, semi-finals are all about winning. We weren't too bothered about how we played. It was just trying to get to the final, and thankfully we have.
When you say you weren't too bothered, I'd say at the same time you're probably glad that you're playing. I don't use the word improved, but you got a bit smarter in the second half.
We did. We weren't happy with our first half performance, and the scoreline reflected that, and we knew that we needed to up every facet in our game, especially our conversion, and thankfully we did.
Definitely, because when you watch the first half in particular, what kept you in it was a few little flashes of individual brilliance from Sean O'Shea and David Clifford. I'm thinking of that point he got under the Cusick stand. That must have, you must guys must have known, we haven't performed, we're still there.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, he's the two lads are fantastic players, and it makes our job out a lot easier outside there when the two boys are inside.
No, definitely. And then you guys all finished the job then the second half. Now, here we are again now, Dublin drive for five. If any team knows about drives for fives, it's Kerry. Are you going to be able to do it? Can you stop Dublin?
I don't know. Look, it won't be from the lack of training anyway. You know, we're going to go out there and give it everything we have. Obviously, it's a huge game and a huge challenge. Dublin have been incredible over the last 5 years. They've played football the right way. They've conducted themselves in a great manner. And look, we're going to go up and give everything we have, and we'll see what happens.
Sinead Gramila Margus, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's Devin Moran there speaking after their win over Tyrone today. Now, the big talking point to happen right at the end of that game, I suppose, was the black card for Stephen O'Brien. As things stand, he is due to miss the All-Ireland final because of cumulative black cards. That was his third black card, the rule there that you were suspended then for the next game. He spoke to Marty Morrissey on RTE, the RTE TV broadcast afterwards, said he was aware of the rule, and that the black card that he picked up against Meath was incredibly harsh, and that Kerry will appeal that on his behalf. So he sounded fairly confident that he wouldn't be missing the All-Ireland final, but as things stand, he will, because of that that rule where you pick up three black cards, you're automatically suspended for the next game. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of that. Elsewhere, we're going to hear now from Tyrone manager Mickey Hart, who's also speaking to Maura Trasny-Kelly after that 3-point defeat to Kerry today.
Somebody has to wait. win, somebody has to lose. And I know probably you now on the worst side of this today, probably already in your head going through the shoulda, woulda, couldas. But we always say when we're watching this, you imagine Mickey Hart's got a plan. There's always a plan, there's always something. And I just kind of felt if he had that extra minute or two, things could be different again.
Well, that's it. It was the game went down to the wire, and I suppose we were probably in quite a good control of the game in the first half. So it's very disappointing. Probably we should think we should have been further ahead at half time. I think we caught Kerry a bit by surprise in the first half, but we don't think we had enough on the scoreboard to really justify the superiority we had in that first half. And they were always going to come back at us. That's what good teams do. And you know, then it became a point for point game. It was going to be anybody's game at that stage. When they broke and got the goal, I think that put paid to our chances, because all they had to do was cover our scores from there to the end, and that's exactly what they did.
It must have been very hard for you standing there on the line knowing that it was going down to this, the point for point, the one-man tussles here and there, that kind of thing, knowing that one small little thing might have turned it back in your favour.
Well, that's true. It's a small margins at this level, and they make a huge difference. And yeah, I can't fault our players for their effort, and they tried their hearts out. And I don't know, maybe need some objective viewer to see did the decisions go harshly against us overall. And at this point in time, I get the feeling that was the case.
I have to say, I'd be as objective as you could be. And again, I'm only watching it first time around. I felt one or two decisions, a bit soft toward Kerry. And then maybe perhaps as well, the 6 minutes extra time, I would have felt perhaps. Now, again, I didn't have a stopwatch out there. Mm. I thought we might have had an extra 30 seconds or a minute. Would that have made a difference? Who knows? It might not have.
Well, that's it. Another minute, we'd have been very glad of it anyway. We had a chance. I think, you know, when you announce 6 minutes and you study the amount of interruptions there were after that, you would have felt there should have been at least another couple of minutes. And I felt the 6 minutes was quite short anyway to get in the number of stoppages and substitutions that was made in the game. I felt there should have been more time, but we didn't get it.
One thing we do have to point out was the brilliance of Cathal McShane. Definitely Kerry didn't know what to do with him in the first half. In the second half as well, he kept playing. He didn't get as much space, and a few things perhaps went awry, but that's probably due to the pressure being put onto him. But he was immense throughout the whole thing, when everybody else, a lot of times, are being kept quiet.
Yeah, he's had an immense season for us. He's a top-class player. He never gives up. He never lets up. He just goes for everything. And it's a shame that he wasn't on the winning team today. And in fact, it's a shame that those players didn't get more than today. Often people say you get what you deserve in sport, and sometimes you don't.
Finally, before I let you go, you yourself, you've had a long season. You've had many a long season. Your reflection of the year, of how Tyrone football has gone, obviously you're thinking, well, it's never as good as the years I won All-Irelands. But you yourself, how are you feeling about it now?
Well, I think we're a work in progress, you know, and you like that work to go on an upward curve, and I suppose it was doing that until right now today, and we hope that we'll go up on another curve and get back to the final again. But it's in a bit of a plateau at the minute as we stand right now, so we have to go back and try and see can we move on to be better than that.
People listening to us might say, how does Mickey Hart keep going back to that? Well, it must be hard at times.
Well, it's challenging on days like today, but you know, that has always been my way, that when things happen that don't go the way you want, that happens in life too, and you have to roll up your sleeves and just take the rough with the smooth. And today's been a rough day.
Yeah, the reaction of Mickey Hart there following the defeat to Kerry in the All-Ireland semi-final this afternoon. Kerry now going to face the Dubs. Can they stop the Dubs though from picking up their fifth All-Ireland title in a row? We'll find out in 3 weeks time, September the 1st. Meanwhile, Cork will face Galway in the All-Ireland Minor Football Championship final. That's after Galway defeated Kerry today 14 points to 13 in the curtain raiser. A busy afternoon in the local championships. In the Senior Hurling Championship, there was a doubleheader in Mallow, first up at 2. Kanturk defeated Air and Zone 19 points to 113. After that game, there was an epic battle between Bride Rovers and Ballyhay. Ballyhay just getting the better of it by a single point, but what about this for a scoreline? Ballyhay 320, Bride Rovers 416 was how it finished in Mallow this afternoon. In the Senior Football Championship, Carrigaline and Bishopstown are currently going head to head, and the latest score from there, it's 22 minutes gone into the second half, it's Carrigaline leading Bishopstown 1-9 to 1-8. Manchester United have just gotten a fourth goal. Can't see who scored it because they're all celebrating in the big massive huddle. We'll get you that one in a second. But a fourth goal there for the Red Devils, who are absolutely flying against Chelsea this afternoon. They didn't look too good in the first half. Second half, whatever they've done, whatever Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has done, they have really clicked into gear, and they are in red hot form now at the moment against Chelsea, and Frank Lampard making his Premier League debut as Chelsea boss today, but it's not one he's going to remember very, very fondly. 82 minutes on the clock now. It's Manchester United 4, Chelsea 0 is how it stands. It was Daniel James who got the goal for the Red Devils. Took a big deflection into the back of net. He won't care about that. Manchester United 4, Chelsea 0 is how it stands. In the Premier Intermediate Football Championship, Nemo Rangers had a big win over Castleton by 5-14 to 11 points. Elsewhere, it took extra time to separate them, but Air Og defeated Ahada 3-16 to 1-17. Also in the Premier League today, there was two games at 2 p.m. and Arsenal are off the mark with a 1-0 win today over Newcastle. Stephen Goldsmith.
Steve Bruce called this a proud day and felt his side deserved more. They certainly did all the pressing, with Shelby smacking the post and new signing Joe Linton going very close in the first half. But Arsenal punished them fatally when they gave the ball away in the second half. Aubameyang with a neat touch and finish to win the game for the away side. It finished at St James's Park. Newcastle 0, Arsenal 1.
Yeah, Steve Bruce afterwards saying it was a great day, but not the result he wanted.
I think that's the big disappointment, that we've given a poor goal away. We made a mistake. And unfortunately, got punished.
That was the reaction of Steve Bruce. A scoreless draw, meanwhile, between Leicester and Wolves. Derek Clark.
Full-time Leicester City 0, Wolves 0, but it's VAR that will steal all the headlines after ruling out a Leander Dendonker goal in 51 minutes when the ball brushed against Willie Bolly's arm. Wolves slightly edged it in terms of chances created. Raul Jimenez forcing saves out of Kasper Schmeichel. The Foxes threatened at times but lacked any real cutting edge in the final third. So a piece, point of piece is how it ends here. It's finished Leicester City 0, Wolves 0.
Meanwhile, a double bogey and two bogeys has Shane Lowry 3 over par through 7 holes of his final round at the Northern Trust in New Jersey. That'll leave him 2 under for the tournament. Rory McIlroy, meanwhile, tees off in 20 minutes time. He's in a tie for 8th on 10 under par, 4 shots off the pace, being set by Patrick Reed. Wales winning run of internationals has ended at 14. Warren Gatland named the strong side for their 33-19 defeat to an experimental England side in their opening World Cup warm-up match at Twickenham. Alan Wynne-Jones made a record 135th test appearance for his country today.
You know, you're always wary of the first 20 minutes, whether it's international or domestic, and we feel we probably left it led in two soft ones by not winning the ad line particularly early on in that first half.
Alright, finally, just before we move on and talk Gaelic games, we're not going to talk Gaelic games, in fact. If you heard the Sunday show with Anna Geary this afternoon, she had Davy Fitz on. And Anna asked Davy Fitzgerald about the Cork job and if he'd be interested, and Davy's reaction was interesting.
Now, I do have to ask you this question as well, because there have been a lot of rumblings around Cork about the Cork manager role, and your name has come up a lot as somebody that they would love to see in that position. So, what do you make of that? Now, certainly it's a compliment, but, you know.
Yeah, it's a great guess. I had a few of my friends call me from down there and say it to me, you know, but I don't think they'd take Davy Fitz and Cork, no matter what the story is.
I don't know about that.
What to do.
Looking at what you've done with Wexford... It's been brilliant.
Yeah, but there's certainly the one thing I'd say to people at Cork is I think they have fantastic talent, and whatever it takes to get over the line, they should do it. I think that's very important, you know. But certainly, and you can see in the football, I definitely think they're making strides as well, so it's important that they keep going at both fronts, you know. And they're certainly from even opposition, it's someone you like them because you know that they're very talented and they're going to give 110% all the time.
Well, he definitely didn't rule it out there, did he? He said. I don't think they'll take Davy Fitztown in Cork, but interesting that he said there's a great talent in Cork and that they need to do whatever it takes to get them over the line. Be interesting if Davy Fitz were to take the Cork job, would they give to him first off? Would you like to see Davy Fitz be given the Cork job? Send us a text 086 8104 106. You can tweet us at Big Red Bench as well on that. Alright, 5 minutes left to go on Old Trafford. Manchester United leading Chelsea by 4-0. Now, earlier on today, I was joined in studio by All-Ireland champions Jack Murphy and Blake Murphy of the Cork Under 20 footballers joined me this afternoon to discuss their incredible, incredible year and that fantastic win over Dublin last weekend. Going to hear first from Jack Murphy speaking about their celebrations.
Yeah, I don't know, has it really set in properly yet, to be honest. It might take a couple of weeks for it to properly set in, you know. Like, we had a nice week of celebrations, but it's kind of quickly back down to earth just because we've kind of club games and stuff coming up. Like, I'm over there, Aer Og and UCC today and Blake's out next week with Vincent, so kind of straight back to the grindstone, I suppose, for us.
Yeah, what were the celebrations like over the last couple of days?
Oh yeah, they were top class, to be fair, I suppose. Like, you know, no matter where we went, we felt welcome, like, and we stayed as a team all week and we really enjoyed it. But as Jack said, it's back to the grindstone now, and some of us, nearly everyone really, is club championship week, so we have to focus on that now, and hopefully we get another few trophies for some of us.
What was the homecoming like on Monday night?
No, the homecoming was really good now, in fairness. We got the bus in from the city and we stopped in Clon first, because Mark Shanley is from Clon. We went into his parents' bar, and we got a really good reception there. Like, we were taken aback, to be honest, at the amount of people that were there, but Keith is right. In Joe, we went back to West Cork to play our first game against Waterford and in the league against Kerry to kind of pay homage to kind of the home of Cork football in West Cork, and I suppose that was kind of reciprocated in the actual crowd that came back through Clonakilty, Ross Carberry, Lepp, and then back to Baltimore Skibb, Ulster Rovers, and we were really delighted just to see the amount of young kids and stuff that got out to see us, and just to thank them for all the support throughout the year.
Blake, has it sunk in, I suppose, that you're under 20 All-Ireland champions?
Jesus, no, definitely not, like, because, you know, it's something that since the very start of the year, like, we'd be having a chat between ourselves and you'd be like, Jesus, imagine if we won the All-Ireland, or we'd love to win the All-Ireland. We'd all, as Keith says, it's talk is cheap, like, all year he's been saying it to us, but I suppose we can talk all we want now because we've gone and done it, like, so it definitely hasn't sunk in, but, you know, it's something we look back on in a few years. We're very close as a bunch, and I think we're always going to have that bond. Like, it's just because we won the All-Ireland, and, you know, that's a special moment that we had together, and I think hopefully we'll always have it.
Jackie, I suppose he kind of hit the ground running, as you mentioned, that Waterford game down in West Cork. He beat them out of the park, basically, and kind of set the tone, I suppose, for the rest of the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a bit of a nervous game going in, just to kind of get the first game under the belt, you know, but we knew straight away from the league, you know, we played Kerry, Dublin, Galway and Kildare, who are all top teams, and we were well able to play against all of them, like, so we knew going into the championship that we definitely were in for a shout of winning the All-Ireland. We always genuinely thought we were going to win the All-Ireland, like, so we
did. You honestly say, like, from day one you're like, this is it,
that's what we came in at the start of the year saying, our first and foremost we'll get over Waterford, but, like, the big goal was always winning the All-Ireland, and that's the way we want to look at it every year, and that's how Cork should look at it, to be honest, every year, I think.
Yeah, and Blake, were you the same, that you know, like, that you had the ability to go off and win the All-Ireland?
Yeah, like, every year, I suppose, we've been there or thereabouts, like, we probably lost the Kerry most years, but, like, we knew the talent was there, and it was just a matter of putting it all together, like, and I think that Keith was huge in that, like, we knew, like, he really got us believing in ourselves, and he just kind of put the puzzle together, really, and, like, from the moment go, he was top class, and I suppose we pushed on, ended up winning the All-Ireland, like, but, you know, it's just a tribute to him, really. Because, like, I suppose we always had the talent, it was just we needed him really to put it together, like.
Yeah, what does Keith bring to the table for you?
Everything, in fairness. As we said, the backroom team that he brought with him are all the same manager as him, but, like, I genuinely don't think we would have won the All-Ireland without him. He came in late, which is a task more what he wanted. It was almost poison chalice in that sense, in that he had to come in at the end of January, start of February, you know, with not a lot of training done, and kind of pick up halfway off after someone else had started. But he embraced the whole challenge, really, and he's, as well as being a really good football coach, like, he's made us kind of better people as well, like, we've all matured a lot, and learned how to take a lot of responsibility and make our own decisions, and he's, as well as football, he's brought a lot to the table in general for us as people as well, just young lads growing up.
I spoke to Aidan O'Mahony, interviewed him for the show yesterday, and he was singing Keith's praises because he would have played under Keith in CIT in the day, like, you know, so he's obviously a top class coach.
Yeah, oh Jesus, yeah, he's top class. Like, I remember growing up, he would have coached my father with Vincent's as well, and, like, Vincent's only I could be wrong on this, but I think Vincent's only have two permanent VAA counties, and Keith's definitely the coach for both of them, like, in 2006 and 2012. And, like, if I say the middle period between those years, Keith probably wasn't there, like, so it just goes to show as well, like, whenever he's around, it's just his presence is definitely felt, like, no matter whatever he says, like, the man just speaks so much sense, and, like, he's such a motivator as well, like, in the dressing room before a game, no matter what he says, he's some man to get you up for a game, like, even at half time in a few games, like, we were dead and buried, probably, like, especially after 10 minutes against Dublin, and being 7 points down against Tyrone as well, like, a lot of teams would have probably caved in them moments, like, but I suppose it's due to Keith that he really motivated us to push on, like, and all year he just said that we were dogs, like, and that we never give up, whatever, like, so it really, I suppose, it worked out in the end.
The confidence he had in us all year was absolutely unparalleled. Mm-hmm. Like him and his backroom team, the confidence that they instilled in us for the whole year.
He's a good man manager, so like,
yeah, absolutely man to man. But just in general, the whole team, he was the one that put the belief in us that we were good enough to win an All-Ireland, and we were good enough to beat anybody in the country if we wanted to.
So you went into that Munster final then full of confidence after the win over Waterford, knowing like you were going to be carried that night.
Yeah, I think we did, to be honest. Like we I know what you're saying, like, well, we have to get over Waterford first, but I think we were kind of looking at that game for a long time, and like we brought him down to Clonakilty for the first game in the league, like, and as Keith said to us, like, that was a brave enough move from him, really, to be fair, like, because playing Kerry and Clonakilty can go either way. Like, if you're winning, like, the people at Clonakilty, they love their football, but if you're winning, they're all for you. Like, but if you're losing, they'll eat you alive. Like, and I suppose when we played Kerry down there, it just showed us that, like, we really had what it takes, and like getting a draw in the league was huge, and we were looking at that Munster final for a long time, I suppose. And like we never against Kerry, it was probably the best performance we put together all year, and we didn't give him a chance, really. Like,
but yeah, regardless of who we were coming up against, it was more just about focusing on ourselves as well. Like, we didn't go into any game kind of thinking about everyone else on other teams. Like, sure, there was a couple of massive, like, I know Donald Down was playing full forward for Kerry, and say Archer for Dublin. People are always asking us, oh, what are you going to do about these players? We always just focus on what we control ourselves, control the controllables. And kind of went from there in every game, and thankfully worked out every time.
Blake, to beat Kerry, I suppose, so handily as well, was it 11 points to spare, I think it was?
Yeah.
Did you notice a lot more attention being placed on you then, and a lot more focus, and you know, kind of almost see a little bit more pressure come on you after that one?
Yeah, I suppose after that win there was probably a lot more expectations, like, but like, I think that's the way Cork football should be. Like, people should be expecting Cork teams to beat Kerry, and should be expecting Cork teams to contest for All-Irelands, and I suppose hopefully that'll be back now in the next years, like we see yesterday with the minors getting to the All-Ireland final, the seniors getting to Super 8s. But like, expectation and hope is a good thing. Like, you can react to it in two ways. Like, you can carry it and use it, or you can let it bring you down, like, or whatever. But I suppose we really use the expectation, and as Keith said, the hope as well, like the hope of Cork football. And like, it was huge. Like, the support was unbelievable as well in Laois. It was top class, and like at half time, I don't know, we pulled aside, and like, the crowd really got behind us, and we knew when we went into dressing from that moment on, like, we had the crowd with us, and like, we knew in the second half we had what it take to beat the Dubs, like, so.
How big a factor was the crowd that day? There was a huge Cork crowd up there.
Absolutely massive. Like, even just the 20 hurlers were before us, and they were giving us a guard of honour coming out to the pitch, so we knew straight away everyone was behind us. We came out to a massive reception, and then, as Blake was saying there, Keith kind of gathered everyone over just by the stand just before the lads went in for half time, and the crowd went proper mental. Like, there was massive chanting, and it would genuinely give you shivers down your spine, like, how loud the crowd were for the whole game. And when the going really got tough, they were behind us all the way, and it was a massive factor for the whole game.
The going certainly got tough, Blake, when you were going 6 down after a couple of minutes. So I was watching, yeah, and I was like, no. What was going through your head at that point?
To be honest, I know it might sound as if I'm lying, like, but we genuinely, like, it never crossed our mind that the game was over. Like, people were saying to me, like, what, you must have been thinking after 10 minutes, oh, this is over. Like, we weren't thinking that at all, because, like, what I was thinking is, jeez, we haven't even gotten going here. Like, we were full on asleep for the first 10 minutes, I suppose. When we woke up, like, I think someone said, Bart, if you cut out the first 10 minutes, I think we outscored Dublin 3-16 to 7 points or something like that. So it just goes to show, like, a stupid 10 minutes could have maybe cost us the game, but we never gave up. We dug it out in the end, and I suppose it was lucky that it happened in the first 10 minutes, because we had loads of time to recover. Like, so
we were always kind of just with the mantra to never panic no matter what happened. Joe, if they scored, we had the same reaction for if we scored. Every single time it was just the next ball, and we kind of just went into the game with that in our heads, and we knew we were good enough, so there was no panic at all. And you can see after Dublin scored the goal, Sean Meehan went straight into Josh O'Keefe, and I don't know if they caught it on camera or anything, but he went in and he was just saying, just calm it down, no panic, just calm it down. And we went out, Josh kicked the ball out, we went up, won the ball and got the next score, and we drove it on from there. But it was just always just not panicking, keeping ourselves under control, and next ball all the time.
I suppose, Blake, you had a bit of experience as well with the Tyrone win as well, coming from behind, and you knew you had that in your locker.
Yeah, that's it. Like, Tyrone were a superb team, and to be honest, I thought like the way we showed the grit and determination against Tyrone was unbelievable. Like, Jack there next to me as well, like, coming off the bench, were an unbelievable goal. And, like, I think that was a huge factor as well all year. Was our bench was ridiculous. Like, no matter who we brought on, I think every game they contributed so much to the scoring. Like, that's a huge factor in the county football in the modern game anyway. You know, Keith said all year it'll take 20-21 players on any given day to win a game. We showed that against Tyrone as well, and we carried it through to the final, and we didn't fare anyone, to be honest, all year. But yeah, Tyrone's really stood to us in the final, like, from coming from behind 7 points down to go on and win the game. I suppose we did it again against Dublin then, like, so we never really start well, like, so.
I suppose, Jack, you probably went into the final as underdogs against the big Dublin machine. Did that kind of suit you a bit?
I don't know. I don't think we really looked into it, to be honest. I didn't know any of the odds on any online. Like, we stayed off social media. We just focused on ourselves for the whole year. We kind of tried to tune out what everyone else was saying about us, whether we were favourites or underdogs or whatever. We just didn't really listen to any of the kind of talk around us, just focused on ourselves for the whole year.
Kind of like a bubble, so
exactly, yeah, exactly. Just kind of kept everything within the group, you know.
Yeah, I suppose that's the way it has to be as well,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
Just keep it all in-house.
Yeah.
And when the final whistle went, Blake, I mean, like, what can you describe exactly how it was?
I don't think I can, to be honest, but no, it was ridiculous. It's moments like that when, as I was saying, when we look back at that in a few years, like, that's the reason why our bond will be so strong. Like, as Keith said to us, it might be 20, 30 years time, and we could be down in the park ring watching a match, and we might see a fella, like, you share that moment with, and it will always be special, like, and oh, it was unbelievable, like, especially with the amount of Cork people there, like, letting them onto the pitch after the game as well. It's like moments like that, like, you'll never know, no matter what happens, you'll never beat it. Like, it's just you train all year just for that we say, even that 30 seconds when the whistle goes, that's what you're training all year for, like, you're aiming for that moment.
Can you remember?
Said was the first person on the pitch.
I mean, I say he never ran so fast.
Can you remember the final whistle, Jack?
I suppose for me, really, Blake's probably the same. I think he was saying it was all about the hard work this year, but for us, it's probably the last 5 years we've been putting in so much work and not getting to where we wanted to be every year. So it's actually been a 4 or 5 year kind of process for us, and we've been putting in the work every year. So I think it's just for all of that to finally come together to something, and not just the Cork team, you know, our families are behind us the whole way, our clubs have been backing us since we were 6 or 7 years old, you know, for them as well. It just means a lot for all the efforts that they've put in with us, to finally get something out of it. It just means so much.
It certainly does. Do you feel like you've kind of risen the hope of all Cork football supporters now after that win?
Yeah, definitely. I suppose the Cork football is definitely, I think it's in a strong place at the moment anyway. Like, people might say, oh, we're playing Division 3 league next year. Like, granted, the start of the year probably wasn't the best, but like, the last few weeks have been absolutely unbelievable. You see the seniors competing with Dublin and Tyrone in the Super 8s, the minors in the All-Ireland final, and we won the All-Ireland. Like, there's no reason at all why Cork football can't, you know, go on and hopefully win a Sam Maguire in the next few years. I don't see any reason why not. Like, the talent is there and the variety is there, like, the coaches are there, everything really. It's just a matter of putting it all together, really.
And Jack, I'd imagine there's a large number of you have put your hands up for senior selection now after the summer you've had.
Yeah, I suppose probably just to focus on the club championship first is kind of what we're all thinking, to kind of go back to the clubs and see where we can get from there, and then probably worry about senior selection or whatever kind of when we get into the winter, when all our club championships are over, and with colleges and stuff. But I suppose there's a load of lads on our team that are well good enough to put their hands up for senior. It's obviously a really hard step up to go from 20s to senior at the same time, so it'll be interesting to see how it fares out, but there'll definitely be a couple of people that are well good enough to play senior next year, right?
Yeah, and very finally, Blake, just awarding the under-20 hurlers who face Tipperary in a couple of weeks, how incredible would it be to have an under-20 double?
Someone said last night actually that no team has ever won the under-20 hurling and football in the same year. Like, the double has been done at senior level, but it hasn't been done at under-20 level, under-21 level apparently anyway. But it would be unbelievable. Like, to win two All-Irelands at the same age group would be unreal, especially a dual county like Cork. Like, a lot of them hurlers could be playing football, and a lot of footballers could be playing hurling as well. So you know, it'd be great for them now as well. It'd be great for Cork as well.
And the minors as well in a couple of weeks, fingers crossed.
Yeah, that's the big one, yeah.
Boys, it's been a pleasure having you in. Thanks very much for coming in. Congratulations on the All-Ireland success.
Thanks very much. Thanks.
Yeah, great having the All-Ireland champions in studio with us. That was Jake Murphy and Blake Murphy discussing an incredible summer for them. Capped off with that incredible win over Dublin. 1-6 down after 9 minutes to come back and win that game. Absolutely incredible stuff indeed. So congratulations indeed to the Rebels. Jack actually went off and played draft for Aero this afternoon in the Premier Intermediate Football Championship, and he's involved with UCC this evening, so he had a busy afternoon after doing that interview with us earlier on today. But thanks to him very much indeed, to the lads for coming in. Right, still to come on the show, we are going to talk Cove Ramblers, but up next we're talking to Rockmount.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Right, glad you could join us on the Big Red Bench. Full time from Old Trafford. Manchester United with a big win over Chelsea. Peter Smith.
United 4, Chelsea 0. The scoreline may be a little harsh on Chelsea, who twice hit the frame with a goal. But United were clinical. Rashford opened the scoring from the penalty spot, having been brought down by Zuma, before United hit their opponents with two in two second half minutes, as Martial swept in Pereira's cross from close in before Rashford claimed his second. Substitute James hit a debut goal after a neat link out between Pogba and Martial. United 4, Chelsea 0.
Full time as well in the Senior Football Championship. Carrigline have beaten Bishopstown 2-9 to 1-9. Alright, we're going to talk football now. The Munster Senior League season starting next week. Of course, everyone wants to dethrone the UCC as champions, but it's been a difficult time for Rockmount following the sudden passing of Chairman Jamesy Corcoran back in May. Now, Rockmount are launching the James Corcoran Memorial Golf Classic, taking place in September in Blarney Golf Club. Jamesy's son Alan is organising it. Alan called in to me to talk about it and to talk about the effect his father's passing has had on him, his family and his club.
It's been an emotional couple of weeks. I suppose, like I was saying to you before we came on, if it wasn't for the soccer community and Rockmount, but the bigger soccer community in Cork, it would have been a lot harder. Like, you, when something like that happens and the overwhelming flood of messages that had came in, to me, the family, everyone else, it really goes to show that how important sport is. It carried me through the whole lot, and like I said, if I didn't have Rockmount through this, I would have been lost. I would have been in a hole. But no, it was tough, but they got me through it, really, to be honest.
Next, your dad Jamesy was Mr. Rockmount, I suppose. I mean, like, you don't talk about Rockmount without mentioning Jamesy at some point, like, you know.
Yeah, he really was deep down. But even I remember on Monday after he died, we went up to the committee meeting, the Rockseps, just to go through a few things, and even the referees had said that they gave a minute silence to him, and I suppose that was the first time that referees and silence and Jamesy Corcoran was mentioned in one thing.
Because we had Noel Healy from UCC in a couple of weeks back after they'd won the league, and he paid a lovely tribute to your dad, and he said a larger-than-life character who I'd certainly have made plenty of arguments with, he said.
I rang Noel after the interview, actually, to thank him. It was nice words, and look, it was a tough end to the season for the lads, going out playing ring man the Sunday after he died, and you know, it was always going to be an emotional time for the club as a whole, and then trying to go on to win a league, but look, as I said, the community, the sporting community in Cork, down to the Munster Senior League, the tributes from clubs, I even think at the funeral, at the eulogy, I had nothing written down, I winged it, and I don't think I kind of mentioned how good the whole footballing community in Cork were, even down to, as I said, the Munster Senior League tributes coming in from clubs, even Darren Murphy and the lads on Fans Voice TV, they had they streamed the last game of the season, and they had a picture to the old man as a tribute up and everything, you know. So it was just, and as well, a massive part of his life was golf and Blarney Golf Course, and the show at the funeral and the removal with them decked out in their gear, and the floods of green coming in, it was fierce, overwhelming, but very comforting at the same time, you know.
I suppose after something like that happens, Alan, I suppose football kind of takes a back seat after that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
And it affected everyone in the club,
massive, massive ripple. it affects everyone and it takes a backseat. But then at on the other side of it, like, things have to go on, and there was leagues to be won and there was games to be played, cups to be won, you know, but it wasn't to be. But sure, look, hopefully we kick on this year and trying to get something out of it.
Exactly, yeah, but as you were saying, like, kind of football, Rotman kept you going, probably kept everyone going.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Like, I managed the juniors outside, and like, going back pre-season and all that just kept my mind occupied all the time, being in touch with the club. It really helps take your mind off it. But like, I feel way more at ease even when I go to Rockman Park. You feel as if you're with a moat there, because yeah, that's like, even though I kind of only got involved in the club kind of a year and a half ago, like, I was always part of Rockman all my life, growing up playing with them, going up and down the country with my old man to trips, like, you know. And like, it's very good to have that bond, even past players from 10, 15, 20 years ago coming up to you, and you feel as if you never, like, you feel as if you knew them all the time, that yeah, they weren't strangers, do you know what I mean? Like, so it's like, I again, like, the club, everyone in the club, I'd be lost without them, to be honest.
As you said, your dad's other love was golf, Blarney Golf Club, so it's fitting, I suppose, the Golf Classic is coming up in Blarney Golf Club.
Yeah. So, like, all kind of last year, like, as you know, trying to run a football club, it's all volunteers, it's all down to sponsorship, fundraising, and he had spoke about it all the time, about getting a Golf Classic done. And I suppose we were in the semi-final, the Intermediate Cup, so we were constantly busy, we never kind of had time to sit down and plan it. And like, unfortunately, his death came towards the end of the season, and it was kind of just before the AGM. Then I went up to the committee meeting, and I had said, look, as I said, like, the world goes on, life goes on, football goes on, we have to get on with it. So I said, would it not be an idea if we ran a fundraiser for the club, Golf Classic, and just throw your man's name in as a tribute thing to him, do you know what I mean? And to have Blarney Golf Course as well with it, which was a massive part of his life. I mean, since I got the go ahead from the committee to go and organise the Golf Classic and contact Blarney Golf Course, they've been unbelievably helpful, you know. And like, as well, what they did on the day that he dropped in the golf course, like, I remember talking to the ambulance driver up in the hospital, and he had said, like, to have any chance at all of surviving a cardiac arrest, you need just key factors, and the main key factor is immediate CPR. And he got that administered to him, came out of the cardiac arrest, and kind of, he didn't walk into the ambulance, but he was going into the ambulance kind of saying, I'm going nowhere, I have a game of golf to finish, you know. And he just kind of got a second turn in the ambulance then, and that was it. But like, all credit due to them in Blarney Golf Course. Like, I mean, that probably took fierce trauma away from me and the family, what they had to witness and go through to try to perform CPR in the middle of a golf course. And it's not all credit due to them for what they did.
Definitely so. And I think there's a lesson to be learned there for everyone, just to learn CPR and know what to do in an event like that.
Oh, absolutely. And like, if there is anything to be learned from it, like what we went through the past couple of weeks and are still going through, like, it's, I suppose, with men's health out there, you don't kind of, it kind of gets shepherded aside, you know what I mean? There's a lot of emphasis on women's health and women getting checked, but like, my dad had a full body health check booked for the Friday after he had died, you know. And like, I suppose if there's any lessons to be learned, like, just, you know, go and get yourself checked. Like, you know, you don't know what it could have, if he had that got that done sooner, you know, what it would have brought up, would it have saved anything, you know. But I try not to overthink all those things, because I think your mind will go mental if you try to work out those situations in your head, you know.
I understand. The Golf Classic launch, though, is happening in Quinlan's next week.
Yeah, next Thursday night at 8 o'clock. So there's the Golf Classic taking place on the 26th and 27th of September in Blarney Golf Course. There is 3 shotgun starts. There's Thursday at 2, Friday at 9, and Friday at 2. The Friday 2 is kind of fairly full at the moment, but there's T-Box sponsorships there to be whipped up. We're looking for prizes, but look, the response has been phenomenal since we announced it and launched it on social media. And it's like, there's been so many businesses, families have come in sponsoring. Like, it's really been overwhelming.
If anyone wants to sponsor or anything or take part, how do they go about
it? Yeah, we have an email address set up. It's rockmountgolf@gmail.com. You can contact anyone at all in the committee. My number is on the main posters out there. You can contact anyone in Blarney Golf Course. Just also as well to note that we are going to be making a donation to the cardiac unit in CUH out of the money raised. So we're just trying to give something back to the cause. Do you know what I mean? So but no, the response has been very good so far. And like, I set up a kind of a subcommittee of lads to run this away from the main committee, because like they've got so much to do anyway in the day they're running the club. So like, genuinely, without Steve Montgomery, Graham Keane, John Gaffney and Dave Horn, I wouldn't have been able to do this on my own. They've been a tremendous help as well in getting everything done.
Mm-hmm. And the Munster Senior League starting next week, I suppose getting back to football will be a nice pleasant distraction for the club.
Yeah, definitely. The lads are playing, the seniors are playing Friday night against Corinthians. We have our first game with the juniors on Monday week. So
it's all go, like
all go, yeah. But it's brilliant to keep the mind occupied, to keep going. And like as I said, even with kids out there, like even fellas in their teens that may have drifted away from any sport at all, like it's really through these things when you go through such a hard time like this, as I said, it really goes to show how important sport is. And it's not just about going out playing, it's like it becomes a family, it becomes so much more than just going out kicking the ball around or doing whatever it is, whatever sport you're doing. Like, and like they really become, like, I've never felt so part of anything in that week that happened. Do you know what I mean? And
again, that's what sport does.
Oh, it does. It's unbelievable. Like,
Alan, thanks a million for coming in, buddy. I know that can't be easy to talk about. Thanks a million for coming in.
No hassle. Thanks for having me, Rory. Cheers.
Best luck with the Classic as well.
Cheers. Thanks, bud.
Yeah, that's Alan Corcoran there of Rockmount, speaking about the James Corcoran Memorial Golf Classic happening at Blarney Golf Resort, 26th and 27th of September, next month. So if you want to enter a team in that, you can get in touch with them, rockmountgolf@gmail.com. Many thanks as well to Alan for coming in and talking so openly about his dad as well, which couldn't have been easy for him. So thanks indeed, Alan. Rockmount, meanwhile, kicking off their season next Friday night against Douglas Hall at Rockmount Park, Carrigaline United hosting Middleton. And on Saturday, it's College Corinthians versus St Mary's. And then on Sunday, it's Cove Wanderers against Ringmahon Rangers. All right, there was a disappointment last night for Cove Ramblers as they went down 1-0 to Hulderston Dock in the FAI Cup. Georgie Kelly got the game's only goal in a game. And so Ramblers more than match their opponents, and certainly put it up to the Lily Whites last night. Very impressed with Ramblers' performance last night. I thought they were excellent. I got the reaction of boss Stuart Ashton after the game.
Stuart, how are you feeling after that? I imagine you're kind of probably disappointed, are you?
Yeah. As you say, very disappointed. Thought the lads were tremendous tonight. We knew what we were going to get from them, no matter what team they put out. As we said before, they're an experienced side, great squad of players. And I think today we showed that we can match them. We were competitive, we were organised. And I think at times they were a bit rattled by us. And unfortunately, I just looked at the goal back there again, unfortunately, we just got caught flat-footed with them running across us. Again, great movement, great ball in. Was it our naivety or the great play? That's the argument, yeah.
I imagine Dundalk are a bit surprised by how well you played.
Yeah, I would think they are, being honest with you. You know, that's probably undermining us a bit, and a bit disrespectful, I suppose. But, yeah, I think we showed. And again, it's what we've been saying every week here so far now, that, you know, it's another little learning curve for us. And today, we said beforehand, you know, let's show what we're about and what we're striving to be. And I think today we showed that in abundance. Yes, we could have played better. The lads are disappointed in there because of it. They know they could have done better when we had the ball. And obviously we'll work on that. We showed glimpses of it at times, and I thought we, I thought we were tremendous tonight, and you know, disappointed the way it finished.
So after you picked the lads up, you'd be saying, "Look, this is the way you can play every week, and this is the way I want you to play every week."
Yeah, I just said that to them. I said, "Lads, did we deserve that? You know, there's heads down there, very disappointing. Did we deserve it?" They're all saying, "No." Can we improve on that when we have the ball? Yes, you know, and we've seen that, you know, in glimpses already, that, you know, what we're trying to do, they're believing in it, and wish, you know, they're trusting each other more, you know, little passes around the place and things like that. So look, it's disappointing to take on the night as it is, because of the performance. So look, yeah.
But the level that they're capable of getting to, and maybe just hopefully to get these occasions on a more regular basis?
Yeah, obviously that's the aim for as a player. You want to play at the top level. So that's what we've said all week to them. Challenge yourself against the so-called best team in the land. Not the so-called, they are the best team in the land, you know, and even, you know, when they go to Europe, they give teams a good go as well. So, you know, that's what, as players, they're striving to be, and obviously as a club, we're striving to push on forward and into the Premier League, where we can play these games regularly, and that's hopefully, that's down the line, sooner rather than later, hopefully. But again, it's the players, it's their desire tonight was tremendous. Again, we just got caught, and as I say, one moment of their magic or one moment of our madness. No.
Yeah. And obviously it was a pretty decent crowd tonight, you know. I mean, people who haven't been in Cup Runs Park for a while, you know, they'd probably go away thinking that they're seeing what you're trying to do and for where the club's trying to go.
Yeah, well, that's the aim. We want a bigger crowd as we can every week. Obviously, the occasion, the FA Cup, the history with Ramblers and the FAI Cup, like, and also, you know, there was an occasion here tonight. But as we said a few minutes ago, we're striving to push on as high as we can. Obviously, we've got to get out of the First Division, which isn't possible this year now. But look, we regroup, and hopefully with the group of lads we have, the way we're starting to play and the results that we're getting, obviously, hopefully, that will attract players to us, and we can move forward, hopefully, and, you know, get the club going in the right direction on a sound footing.
Yeah, and that must be perfectly the confidence booster, just the way that they can play more in their own, and they really made like a team like the double champions, like to more expect to go through, like, you know.
Yeah, you know, we made hard work of it, you know. We came in and we said at the start that you know, we needed a performance, and I can't ask for more because the lads did that. We had, you know, Dave Hurley's one in the first half, a little moment of magic in there, a little beat of pirouette and round someone, and a Dave Hurley strike, like, I think the saying is, he don't do easy goals, like, you know, and he's hit the post, you know, and then in fairness they had one hit the bar, so, you know, there was chances going around the place. I think in the second half there, I think they thought we'd sit down and die, which we had to open up, and again we created chances, we did the stuff we're trying to do, get the balls in, get shots away. So, look, we've done our best, and I think from a personal point of view, lads were tremendous, and they can hold their heads up high tonight.
So you're talking about building for the future. Has there been any talk about you staying on as a full-time basis? Or have you even thought of that?
Obviously, as we said, from Stephen Henderson leaving, you know, obviously it was take over to help the club going forward as such. So, obviously, that's the job the club are doing, the process of that. So, that'll take due course, and then we'll see where that takes it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Ramblers fans be too upset to see Stuart Ashton named manager on a full-time basis after he stepped in following Stephen Henderson's departure. He's done a great job with that young Ramblers side. Another excellent performance last night. Beat Shelburne last week as well. So Ramblers certainly doing well under Stuart Ashton. Played some nice football last night as well. Worked very hard and hit the post in the first half. Just unlucky, I suppose, against Dundalk. But the champions progress at the expense of Cove Ramblers. All right, going get the reaction of Kerry manager Peter Keane after their win over Tyrone today. That sees them into the All-Ireland final against Dublin in 3 weeks' time.
Peter Keane, that was a bit of fun. I suppose it was. Look, I suppose at the end of the day, we're all involved in the GAA for a bit of fun, and there was plenty of excitement here today, and it was great to get into an Ireland semi-final, and thankfully we got out of it.
I'd say you're pretty glad as well that Tommy Welch decided to get out of Australian football and come back to Ireland.
Yeah, I suppose Tommy came home there, I think it was 2015, and he had an injury, he had a serious injury with his hamstring, but you know, he stayed the course. We saw him last year in the County Championship where he did very, very well, and we got a great league out of him, and we've got a great two games out of him now.
He really, I mean, obviously all players performed, they upped their performance in the second half, but I felt he really made the difference. He came in, everything changed, and that's when scoring opportunities and things began to open up.
Yeah, I suppose, look, there was other substitutes as well that came in, and you know, Tommy did well, but the other subs came in and they all delivered, and the guys that were on the field put in a great shift in that second half.
Stephen O'Brien is another person who put in a great shift. He scored a goal, I think it was at 2 points, and now, as far as I know, unless things change, if he managed to get one or more of his black cards rescinded, he won't be playing on Ireland final day.
Yeah, that's what they're all telling me going around there in the media room, but look, we'll deal with that tomorrow.
Will you appeal it?
Sure, I have no idea what are the avenues, so look, we'll deal with that. We'll deal with that tomorrow.
Are you expecting me to believe now you haven't thought this through?
I'd say, Maura Trasa, there's much you don't know about.
Well, I don't know about that. There's lots of things I don't know, but one thing I do know for sure is that you're now in an All-Ireland final against Dublin. I don't believe that Kerry people are thinking, let's stop the Dubs. That's not what you care about. What you care about is winning.
Well, I suppose, look, if you get into any final, you know, you want to win it. I wouldn't get too hung up on the negativity of stopping a team going for the five in a row. Of course, it's a unique achievement for Dublin to be in, going for the five. But look, at the end of the day, we'll focus on our own positives and we'll give it a cut.
Exactly. You paddle your own boats.
We will, and hopefully there'll be no leak in it.
Thank you. See you.
That's Kerry boss Peter Keane there. Speaking to Mara Trasny Kelleg after today's win over Tyrone. So, yeah, talking there about Stephen O'Brien, but Stephen O'Brien himself saying that the black card he picked up against Meath was pretty harsh, so that's what they'll be appealing, and he's fairly confident himself that he'll be appearing in the All-Ireland final. Speaking of All-Ireland finals, in 2 weeks' time we'll hopefully be celebrating another Cork under 20 All-Ireland final win. The hurlers preparing to take on Tipperary at the Gaelic Grounds on the 24th, looking for revenge for the Munster final defeat. I was at the Cork press night on Friday down in Porcurin. I spoke to Cork forward Craig Hannafin of Napiershick.
First off, I'd imagine you're all buzzing after that win over Kilkenny.
Oh yeah, jeez, you're coming down there for a big win, and especially we saw after the footballers, like, we stayed on to watch that game, a great game of football as it was, but it was a great feeling. Like, we went out onto the pitch after the football win, and you could see the Cork crowd, what it means to everyone, like, and we're hoping that, like, we can go and make that a double in the under-20s, like, and bring, like, I put such a boost in GAA and Cork, like, and if you saw the footballers and the hurlers win under 20 All-Ireland, like, I'd love to see the odds for that to start to the year. But no, it would be obviously brilliant to bring, especially Cork Ireland. Like, we need an All-Ireland with back in the county. Like,
do you think there's a bit of pressure on you? So, and do you think people are talking about the double?
I wouldn't say much pressure. It would just be kind of that people, like, want it as much as us, but as they have, like, kind of good intentions. They don't mean to be as in criticising us as players or whatever. It would be more so that, like, they have love for the game as much as us players do, like, and they'd want to see Cork Ireland doing well as us all, like, and they, like, no one wants to be seen as ourselves, like, the last few years getting the finals and just falling at the final hurdle. Like, it's as gotten for the fans as it is for us, and, like, we'd love nothing more than to bring in our Ireland trophy back as much for ourselves as for the supporters, as I said.
What was the biggest change from the Kilkenny game, from the Tipperary defeat in the Munster final?
It was obviously the lads brought in a few changes. There was a few changes in the team, but it wasn't after the Tip game. We didn't feel like we had to change much. It was like, it was just in the manner of the loss. It was more of a kind of a mentally draining rather than our performance wise. We thought we did well. We came in the next day and we analysed the game or whatever, and we felt we'd done fine in the game, and that we put it up to them in every aspect. But it was just a killer, the way it ended, a killer goal at the end. Like, but the only thing that is, like, you can look at both ways. You can feel sorry for yourself, or you can go away, analyse the game and say, look, we actually done things well. We didn't, it was like that last goal was just whatever way the ball broke, and taking nothing away from Tip and their win obviously, but it was it was just the way it felt out. We felt we didn't need to change too much. Obviously, we needed to work, even lifted again for Kilkenny. We knew they'd bring a great challenge. But other than that, we weren't too down on ourselves. We kind of felt that we, on the occasion, we lived up to it and we played to the best of our ability. It was just the way it felt the night. It didn't break for us. Like,
it was probably good that it was only a week of a gap as well. You just got straight back into it.
Like, that's the great thing about the new championship, and I'd say most players will tell you like that. Say we could have, if we lost that Munster final and we had a month gap or something, we could have went home and felt sorry for ourselves, going back to the clubs or whatever for 2 weeks, and kind of it would have been stuck in the back of your mind. And but like, it's great when you've kind of, I think it was 11 days or something after we played the Munster final, we met Kilkenny again, and like, the great thing is we played on the Tuesday night, we were back in again on Wednesday, as I said, analysing the game and stuff, and that's what you need. Like, you need to be back in around the fellas again, like the lads on the team and stuff like that, just not even talking about the game, anything else, just kind of taking your mind off and just relaxing a bit and kind of leaving the loss behind you, kind of thing.
And after those two big draining games, yeah, is it good now that you've had 3 weeks now until the final?
It would be more, it's more so like mentally draining than anything else. You'd be in and you'd be doing, you'd be trying to get the bodies ready as best as you can, and it's more about, it's equally as much as getting the mind ready and just focusing on the next game. You're all year since we played Limerick in the first game, it's been less than a 2 week turnaround every time, so you're just more, it's like just moving from game to game. It just, like, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but you're taking one game at a time because you've no other choice to. But as you said, yeah, geez, the Tipperary game and the Kilkenny game took a lot out of us as a group, but we've a few games now with the club this week, and we'll be back in then properly training for a hard 2 weeks before Tip again.
Yeah, it's Craig Hanifin there of Napiershig, looking ahead to the under 20 All-Ireland final against Tipperary in a couple of weeks time. What an occasion that will be, and fingers crossed we'll be talking about a Cork under 20 double. How incredible will that be? We'll play the rest of that interview with Craig on next weekend's show. So that's it from us for tonight. Thank you very much indeed for listening to The Big Red Bench. If you missed our show from tonight, if you missed it yesterday, you can get The Big Red Bench podcast wherever you get podcasts from. That's on redextra.ie as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Big Red Bench. We're back next Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. so do hope to see you then. Alan Donovan's up next with Green on Red. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening, folks, and we'll speak to you next weekend.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.